we're joined in studio by a very busy person right now who is answering texts, as you can imagine, taking calls, the whole deal as we are talking. It's the mayor-president of East Baton Rouge Parish, the Honorable Sharon Weston Broom, who has been kind enough to come to the studio and talk about what is going on in our community. And I mentioned the governor, and he's busy, but the mayor certainly is as well, and for good reason. What kind of preparations are in place right now, Mayor?
Well, Jim, I have been on the media trail this morning trying to push out information to our citizens, and I thank you for having me on here. We have been taking a very proactive approach to preparing our community. Now, what does that look like? Well, we have deployed barricades around our community in preparation because we don't want people to go down streets that have a history of flooding. And as you know, I recall in June, we had a fatality because someone drowned going down a street. So we are certainly alerting our citizens to obey those barricades. And we have our DPW teams out. You've seen them all around town. They are clearing out storm drains and debris from various ditches and canals, but we're also asking our citizens to be cognizant and take active steps in their own yards. Now, if they have some concerns, Jim, in their neighborhoods, they should reach out to us on the Red Stick Ready platform. We're on social media with Red Stick Ready, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and our BRLA.gov website will lead you directly to Red Stick Ready. So we want to keep those lines of communication. This is my message, Jim. I want people not to be fearful, but to be, I'm describing, prayerfully prepared. We have to be prepared.
877-217-5757 if you'd like to join the conversation with the mayor-president, who will be with us for a little while longer. And you can send us an email to talk at talklouisiana.org. We're back after this brief pause for the news with Karen Henderson on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us on an eventful day, eventful week, and hopefully it's not eventful in an extremely bad way, but we always have to prepare for what might happen and prevent things from being worse than they can be if we don't take precautions. And the mayor president is with us, Sharon Weston Broom. If you'd like to talk with her on the brink of a major storm heading this way, 877-217-5757, or send us a message to talk at talklouisiana.org. Doug on Highland Road. Doug, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Doug.
Good morning. I know that the mayor is aware that Baton Rouge has its own vulnerabilities, similar to those of New Orleans, where you could have high river levels, rain-induced flooding, and storm surge coming up through Lake Maurepas. And, you know, in Baton Rouge, a lot of folks are not aware that after the 2016 flood, the city parish has accelerated development of high-risk floodplains. And I think the mayor wants to do the right thing, but there's some powerful interests that are influencing the planning process here. The public needs to know about that, and it's something that needs to change.
All right. Thank you, Doug.
I think Doug is talking about developments that have evolved, and there has been concern expressed in the planning and zoning process since 2016. And I think citizens certainly we don't want to halt development in Baton Rouge and East Baton Rouge Parish, but we have to have a mindset of water management in everything that we do, because let's face it, Baton Rouge, South Louisiana, water is a way of life at different levels, but we have to have a mindset of water management in everything that we build and do.
Well, 2016 is a time we'll never forget, and it's been almost 3 years since that happened, and that summer, of course, was one that was full of terrible things for our community. And how much did we learn from that? Did we learn enough that it will help us if we have to face something similar?
I think we learned a lot, Jim. I think we all have an elevated level of awareness and attentiveness surrounding being prepared. Now, I'm going to put myself out there and use myself as an example. Without sounding like a broken record, you know, I was impacted by the flood. My house was flooded. I was not in a flood zone. So when the water started rising in my subdivision, I had this thought that, oh, we're not going to be impacted. It's going to go down. And I sat there and watched until finally my family said, we need to leave. And I didn't make any preparation in terms of my material things. I just knew that, okay, the water's getting high. We'll be back tomorrow. That never happened. It was almost a year and a half before I got back in my home. Why do I share this story? Because we need to be, I think we have learned from lessons like that. I don't think I was the only one who felt like that. So now here in Baton Rouge, people are preparing. They're doing the necessary, taking the necessary steps to be prepared in case we do have a major event. I'm doing it. Other citizens are doing it throughout the parish. Now, I will tell you that city parish government, as I said earlier, we're being more proactive. I was not the mayor in 2016, but I can tell you that we are being very proactive. I mean, we're using data. We're looking at maps of drainage-prone areas, and we are doing maintenance and inspection and cleaning those street drains that have been identified as drainage-prone areas. Mm-hmm. Now, Jim, you and I both know when you have, and God forbid any of this happens, but if you have a hurricane, if you have a an insurmountable almost deluge, there's only so much that our systems can take without being overwhelmed. And so I think we have to keep that in mind as we move forward. And what we can do as a government is be prepared and also encourage our citizens to be prepared. Look, I was out there yesterday at on Gardier Lane at one of the Breck parks, and citizens were getting sandbags. Some of them had experienced flooding before, some had not. 55,000 sandbags have been distributed across this city and parish, 486 tons of sand. So we're doing everything that we can think of to be proactive in this process.
877-217-5757 is your number. Mayor President Sharon Weston Broome is in the house. And Phil in Jefferson Terrace, you are on the air with the mayor. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Jim. Hi, Ms. Broome. I know that there's a couple of things. I mean, the event in 2016 was not a named storm, so I'm not sure how that's going to happen or for the insurance claims, because if you have an unnamed storm, but all the damage that it does, is it a different category? And the other thing I wanted to look at was that, I mean, people are living in subdivisions where the lots have been built up like 3 or 4 feet above the street level, but yet those places have flooded the cars that were parked in the street. So we have a lot of problems with drainage going on, and I have to, and also I just want to compliment you on your job. You're doing a great job for us, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And that's a very good question about a named storm. 2016 was not a named storm. However, we were able to get federal assistance because of we met the threshold of uninsured losses. So we were able to get federal assistance. However, I believe in many ways, when a storm does have a name attached to it, it gives a heightened response from the federal government and from the media as well. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a number of people nationally who I'm connected with who had no idea we had that kind of flooding in 2016. Why? Because it was not a named event.
Well, at these times, you become not only a conveyor of information, and the governor will have a press conference this afternoon at 3 o'clock, but you also become the spiritual leader for the city, and people, for good reason, are wary, and for those who went through horrible things 3 years ago, they're thinking, oh, my God, again? How do you calm them and perhaps tell them that, hey, in the long run, things will probably be okay.
Well, I personally understand the potential for anxiety. I mean, I have to work on it myself because I experienced it. And so I get that. I'm very empathetic towards that. But my encouragement to our citizens is to don't be fearful. You know, fear paralyzes us. But as I have said, we need to be prayerfully prepared. I believe we have demonstrated as a city and a community that we are a resilient community, that we are our brother's keeper, especially during times of crisis. And so if we keep that faith-filled, optimistic view in spite of a major challenge and crisis, I believe we will get through it. Now, I'm going to get a little deeper, Jim, because this morning I was thinking, you know, when I travel on airplanes, one of my favorite passages is Psalm 91. It's a scripture of protection. So I would encourage everyone to go to Psalm 91 also if you want to get some encouragement for protection as well as we think about this upcoming potential event.
When you hit some turbulence,
My husband has some stories he could tell you about my experience and my reaction to turbulence. I am doing much better, much, much better.
Well, in a few minutes, we're going to talk about something else, and it was originally the major topic for the mayor's appearance, and it's about a bike share program that is launching, and it's a huge endeavor, and the mayor, of course, has embarked on a rigorous physical fitness and diet regimen that has made her a new person, and I suspect, especially at a time like this, you have a lot more energy than you did a few years ago.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I dropped about 35 pounds. I've been good in keeping it off. I weigh myself every week. I get my steps in. But, you know, I was here. I was going to talk about our bike share launch and the fact that now we will have bikes in Baton Rouge. You've probably already seen them up and about. Of course, they will be throughout Baton Rouge, starting in the downtown area first. This bike share gives us mobility options for our community. And as I said, it certainly aligns with my mission of a healthy lifestyle through our Mayor's Healthy City Initiative. And it is definitely a community asset for us. And what I like is that these bikes will be in downtown. They'll be at Southern University. They will be at LSU. So there is an equity component, ensuring that all citizens of all levels can access the bikes.
And we're going to also be joined here in a few moments by Sean Flood, aptly named on a day like
this. I know.
He is the CEO of Gotcha Bikes, the app-based electric bicycle rental company that is launching this bike share program. And Sean, we're about to go to a break, but let's slide you in a bit before we take our break. And this is a noble endeavor, and I suspect Baton Rouge is replicating some things done in other places.
Yeah. Hi, Jim. Hi, Mayor Broom. Thanks for having me. And I do apologize for my last name. Hopefully nothing locally ends up being bad, but we're really excited to bring Bike Share to Baton Rouge in partnership with the city and a bunch of other folks. So look forward to talking about it more.
Well, each bike is designed by Gotcha Bikes. It features a basket to hold items, a bright front headlight for nighttime riding, and an electric motor for pedal assist with speed and incline. So this is something that I'm told will be accessible 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and we're going to talk some more with Sean Flood, and we'll continue with the mayor. And of course, if there are any developments before we part company today about what's happening in the weather realm, we'll talk about that as well. Your number is 877-217-5757. Back after this pause on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Mayor President Sharon Weston Broom is with us, and we're also joined for a few more moments by Sean Flood, the CEO of Gotcha Bikes, and this company is involved in launching a bike sharing program with hubs throughout the city, many at LSU, some at Southern University, and all places in between. and it involves trying to get our city in better shape. And, of course, people in this area sometimes don't go to other parts of the city. They only stay in their little cocoons, and this will be an opportunity to branch out a bit. How does it work, Sean? How does you do it with your computer, obviously, or your phone, but how do you make a reservation and get on the bike and off and rolling?
Yeah, Jim. So first I'd say, I mean, this is a pretty exciting opportunity for Baton Rouge and like you mentioned, the Connecting University, something that we're definitely appreciative that the mayor and council and other key stakeholders helped bring to life. The thing to think about with bike shares, this really is a transformative way to move and connect people in Baton Rouge. So a lot of your listeners will hear this referred to as a smart bike system, meaning there's a smartphone app that users can download. They can also register on a website to create an account and allow them to have access to this system 24 hours a day. It will be as simple as downloading the app, registering, walking up to the bike, and scanning a QR code on each of the bikes. Every bike has a retractable lock cable that comes through the front wheel, retracts right back into the basket, and then it'll have a digital display that allows users to see how fast they're going. As you mentioned, these are pedal assist bikes. So as you pedal, a motor kicks in that's battery powered that allows you to go longer up and down hills with ease and really be viewed as a mode of transportation. But I did want to point out that we still have community members around the U.S. that don't have access to cell phones, whether that's data or just the phone itself. And we want people to know that this system is still for them. It's for everybody. So we've created a RFID card system where users will be able to go get an RFID card, similar to the card you'd use at a grocery store or your gym. And that would allow a user to access the system by simply tapping that RFID card on the front of the bike. So accessible and equitable transportation is crucial to the success. And again, the mayor and her team, as well as the Gotcha team, has worked diligently to make sure that that's available at the beginning of this program.
There are, 50 mobility locations? Is that the plan?
That's correct. Yeah, phase one has 500 bikes at 50 different mobility locations, with the goal of expanding that to 880 different mobility locations around Baton Rouge.
And Jim, what I like about the bikes is that they are both pedal and self-propelled. Yeah. So I can't wait to get on one of them.
Well, when will all of them be operable?
Yeah, so obviously the storm has delayed our launch. We've had bikes on the ground for this past week, and our team's been slowly increasing the fleet and testing in market. The big rollout was scheduled for today. We're actually now removing bikes, as can be expected, from the streets just to make sure that the bikes and the residents are safe. Once the storm passes, we'll begin repopulating the streets. Our hope is to have this launch be official 1 week from today, from 3 to 5 o'clock.
All right. Well, it's a noble endeavor and one that is overdue. A listener does ask about cost. What is the cost for participating in this?
Yeah, so there's going to be a variety of options. Everybody can look in the app and on our website today. As simple as pay as you go, which is $2 to unlock and then 15 cents per minute after that. There are a lot of different payment plans. The most affordable is to buy an annual membership that allows you free time every day if you're going to be using it. But we do want people to be able to try it out without having to commit to any sort of longer membership. There are some student plans for the folks at LSU and at Southern. And then our Kickstart program, which is for low to moderate income residents, is $5 a year, comes with an hour of free time a day. And again, they'll have access to an RFID card that will allow them easy access to the system.
And here in our community, we've had some concern about safety for bicyclists. What happens if somebody gets in an accident?
Yeah, so again, we hope that that's not the case. We think if you look at bike share across the country, it has been a safer mode of transportation. We think that more people on bike share bikes will make them more aware when they are riding in cars. And these type of bikes that all match definitely make other people in vehicles more aware because they're so visible. And I think it's a great first step to proving that people will use a bike as a mode of transportation. And I think the city will continue to invest in infrastructure based on its residents being on bikes and on things that are not vehicles. So we've seen that around the country. I feel pretty passionately that we'll see that same behavior in Baton Rouge. But again, we do a lot around safety education, access to helmets that we provide to our riders. So we want this to be a safe mode of transportation and feel that it will.
Well, thank you very much, Sean Flood. Appreciate it. And good luck with Gotcha in Baton Rouge, a noble endeavor for a community that needs to exercise, as does every other community in the United States and beyond. Mayor, President, yesterday we had this terrible tragedy at Florida and Eugene with a motorcyclist who was hit by an 18-wheeler and, of course, was killed. It's terrible how some people just don't pay attention.
Yes, you know, we have to elevate our sensitivity as drivers. You know, I sit by my window sometimes when I am at home, and I watch people just go through a stop sign. You know, I live on a corner with four stop signs, and people just zoom right in front of the mayor's house. You know, they just zoom through the stop sign. And so, you know, we have to be more cognizant. We have to do better as drivers and drive defensively, drive cautiously, because we can avoid some of these tragedies, certainly.
Well, the mayor is prepping for an eventful weekend, and you have been in government a long time, in high positions in both the House and Senate, Metro Councilwoman, and I guess nothing really prepares you for something like this until it happens, but I know you have the experience that should be helpful at this time.
Well, Jim, I would like to think that a compilation of my experiences and just dealing with the public and being a servant certainly serves as a great foundation. And over the years, I believe leadership has evolved as part of my life. And one thing I do know is that in times of challenges, of times of crisis, people want to see and hear from their leader, and not only see and hear from them, but they want to know that the leader is driving solutions as well.
Well, a listener asks, LSU's off tomorrow, as noted, and I suspect City Parish workers will be as well.
We're going to make that decision this afternoon. It is highly likely that will take place. We will be announcing a press conference as well this afternoon from MOSEP.
Well, sometimes there is truly the calm before the storm. I recall as a kid, I was 7 years old in New Orleans when Hurricane Betsy hit. The day before was one of the most beautiful days I've ever seen in New Orleans. And then the next day, of course, the world changed quite a bit. So you never know. But and just because it's a nice day tomorrow doesn't mean that it's going to be nice on Saturday. It's probably going to be rather treacherous.
Well, we've been told that the impact, if indeed this continues down the path, will take place on Saturday. The bottom line is that there's some unsettling uncertainty that continues with this, and we won't know for the next 48 hours. And the other side of that is that we have at least 48 hours to get prepared and be prepared. So,
and you're advising people when Saturday comes to stay in, if at all possible.
Oh, absolutely. Stay off the streets. There's no need to be out. I know everybody's getting groceries and going around now. Get that done now, Saturday. Stay in, and let's hunker down and see what happens. As I said, there's uncertainty. It's not written in stone. We know there's always the unpredictable element of weather events like this, but I'm certainly hoping and praying that we will be spared, but nevertheless, we will be prepared. I want us to be prepared.
Governor John Bel Edwards has declared a state of emergency, and here in Baton Rouge, we could get the brunt of the storm, but at this point, we're not expected to get a repeat from 3 years ago, thank goodness. There are concerns, though, that a storm surge could force the already high Mississippi River out of its banks, south of New Orleans. The river is low enough at Baton Rouge and Donaldsonville that levees should contain any surge in this area. But let's see what happens, and the mayor-president will be having a press conference or a media event later today in which he will be alerting the citizens of our parish about latest developments, and the governor will be speaking as well. And precaution is always advised. Nobody needs to be a superhero at this time. And in time, it'll pass, and we'll see what happens. But it's part of living in this area, and you knew the job when you got
yeah.
it, that you might have to deal with something
yes.
like this.
Yes, absolutely. And, Jim, let me just thank all of the nonprofit organizations that are always so responsive. Yesterday, we had the United Cajun Navy out helping us and helping citizens, more specifically with sandbags. They have stepped up to the plate. The Salvation Army is providing food for volunteers. And so we have a great community.
Thank you, Mayor President Sharon Weston Broom. And thank you for listening today. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial.